It's a Ruckus 21. Welcome back. Welcome back, Rachel. I feel like we haven't done the ruckus in the last 70-some-odd years.
It's been absolutely ages.
It's been quite a while.
So what's new and exciting with us?
Oh, not much. You?
Well, I think I might have just got a job.
Oh, awesome.
Hooray.
Awesome. What are you going to be doing?
Well, I'm not entirely sure, actually, but it's something with the Portland Development Commission, and it has to do with talking to the people that they contract, and... That's all I know. Huh. Yeah, I'll have to give you an update later. Yeah. I don't really get it.
So we've been away. We've been busy. It's funny because back when we both had full-time jobs and shit to do and all kinds of other exciting things, it seemed like we had a lot more time for recording episodes of The Ruckus. Now that we've been spending our days watching Veronica Mars, just hasn't been a high priority.
Hey, you know what? Our days have been chock full of excitement. We've been going on hikes and we've been seeing concerts and... making art and reading books and playing games.
That's right.
Meeting new people.
That's true.
Walking around.
I did read a book.
Oh, what did you read?
It was a comic book.
Oh, you read more than one of those.
Well, yeah. I don't know if those count as books, though. They're funny books. Yeah. I read a couple funny books. I'm just kidding. Geeks, nerds out there. Comic books are great literature, just like War and Peace.
Absolutely. They can be.
Yeah. So, I'm going to go ahead and start with a little something I like to call Ask a Scientist.
Oh!
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. It's time for Ask a Scientist. Now, we have listeners across the globe.
We do.
From here to yon, people listen to The Ruckus. People of all kinds of professions. Should it be...
Neuropsychologist. Gravediggers. Chocolatiers.
And scientists.
And strippers.
What if we could get the scientists to strip? That'd be sexy for everyone. So, anyways, I digress. Now it's time for Ask a Scientist. So our good friend and Ruckus listener, Gail Box, is a scientist. Dr. Gail Box? Scientist?
I would love it if she was. Let's call her Dr. Gail Box.
Dr. Gail Box. So I've got a question for Dr. Gail Box.
Oh.
Dear Dr. Gail Box, how do smells work?
Oh, the olfactory sense.
The old factory.
No, the olfactory, not the old factory.
How do smells work? I think you are referring to the process of smelling an odor and not the generation of an odor. The process of smelling begins with entrance of an odor into the nasal cavity, followed by penetration into the mucus layer.
Oh, mucus.
In the mucus layer, you'll find cilia, which those are like little hairs.
I've heard of cilia.
Those of us who have had... survey courses of science are familiar with the word cilia, and we identify it at least as being a word in English. So in the mucus layer, you find cilia, which project to interact with the odor on one end and signal via the axon on the other. When the axon receives stimulation, it transmits to the emotional centers of our brain.
Oh.
As we experience odors, we associate them with memories, and that allows for us to identify odors, the end.
Oh, yay! Oh, Gail has done a fantabulous job.
So that's how smells work. I would like to know, though, the reason that I asked this question is because we have a very smelly lake down the street from us.
We do.
And it smells horrible, and we walk by it every day. And the real reason that I was asking is because my theory... my scientific theory, which I am employing the scientific method to solve, is that there's actually something that's a part of that shitty lake water that's floating through the sky and reaching me, and then I'm smelling it, and therefore I now have shit lake particles that I've absorbed into my body.
You're getting yourself prepared to be really grossed out and never want to go near it ever again. You know, it's not a shitty lake. It's actually a water refinery.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've got the part where they're stirring up the shittiest
they
part
are,
of it.
They are, I know. You can see it from Google Maps. You can see the poop.
Yeah, well, it's a river. It's not a lake. But the river itself is sparkly clean.
Right.
And the reason for that is because of the shitty refinery that's right there that I smell when we walk by it. And I'm concerned that I might have a miniature version of the shitty lake water inside my body.
Well, that's perfectly reasonable. Maybe she can also help me understand why ever since I started working with essential oils, my sense of smell doesn't work very well anymore. I'd like to know if my cilia got damaged.
Do you want a little more science? Can I throw a little more science at you?
Yeah, you can throw a little more science and then I'll give my news story.
Okay, yeah.
I love science.
We'll talk about the news. Don't worry. Don't worry. I haven't forgotten that there's a news portion as well.
All right, let's do it.
Okay, so that was from the microbiologist Gail Box. We also have another doctor who listens, scientist.
Oh.
I don't know that Gail's a doctor, but we've decided that we're going to call her that.
We're going to make sure she is one way or another.
Okay. Well, we have Dr. Blank, who is also a scientist. And he's been doing something interesting as well.
What's Dr. Blank been up to?
Well, I talked to him the other day. I called him and he says to me...
He's a physicist.
Yes, he is. He says, dude, that guy's homework is like 90 pages of scientific notation and like shit that you don't even recognize in a notebook. Like
he invents math.
Yeah, he doesn't use textbooks anymore in class. Yeah. He fills fucking notebooks with scribbly scrabble and he hands it in to somebody else who can read that language. I guess, you know, they put a sticker on it that with a picture of a bee that says keep up the good work or something.
A little apple.
Yeah, exactly.
With a thumbs up. Yay!
So anyways, what he's told me that he's doing these days is I was talking to him and he says, dude, I'm driving the most efficiently that I possibly can. And I asked,
driving his car the most?
Driving his car.
Okay.
The most efficiently that he possibly can. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, well, I'm basically just taking everything I know about physics and I'm applying it to driving my car.
Oh, that's rad.
So
I need his help.
Yeah, well, basically what it amounts to is that he's the short answer is he tries not to use his brake at all. He coasts into stops. If he sees a red light ahead, he'll start coasting from like a mile away. And when he's on the freeway, he never exceeds 35 miles per hour.
Actually, that pisses a lot of people off. And he's like, science in progress.
I told him that. I'm like, dude, aren't people mad at you? And he's like, yeah, they're really pissed off. And I think he was doing about 40 when he said that. And he said, but I think I could get down to 35 and not get a ticket for that. Like, I think you can legally...
If you're in the slow lane, I think you can.
You can legally go 35 miles per hour.
Yeah.
So he seems really unconcerned with the fact that people are getting pissed off because he's like... Man, my car, you know what? I checked it the other day. I'm getting almost 40 miles to the gallon.
That's not bad. Yeah. My motorcycle gets 60 miles to the gallon. Yeah. So for a car, that's pretty good.
Yeah, and he drives a small airplane. So, you know, that's pretty phenomenal.
A couch with wheels.
Yeah. I whatever facts I have wrong about that, Blank can correct me. But I'm pretty sure that my numbers... are pretty accurate in terms of what he said that he was getting out of his car by driving like a very, very slow person.
That's rad.
Yeah.
Well, that's how you do it, folks.
Yeah. And that is the magic of physics. There's more to it, too. He's telling me about the air conditioning and rolling down the windows, and if you're exceeding a certain speed, that you actually are saving fuel by using the air conditioning because the wind resistance from your windows is greater. So, yeah, that's what he's doing. He's... making his car more efficient by driving like an asshole.
Like an old man.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Like an old man.
Yeah.
So, that's science in progress.
Woohoo!
Next time you see somebody driving like a jerk, don't just assume that they're an idiot. they could possibly be conducting some sort of experiment that you've got no idea about, and that's why they didn't use their turn signal.
That's right. It could be science in progress. Yeah. We need to make them a bumper sticker that says that. Don't honk, science in progress.
So why don't you slap some news at me?
All right, so check it out, honey. Did you know? I mean, Justin, did you know?
We didn't even introduce ourselves.
I'm Rachel.
I'm Justin.
You're Justin.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, at the beginning of the show, we haven't done a show in like 3-4 weeks.
You're right. And,
We haven't.
Well, we got it down now.
We should introduce each other.
I'm Rachel. You're Justin. Hello, world.
Hello, world.
Hello, world. Embrace us with your love.
Or
love
not.
Us. No, just love us.
Okay.
We're so squishy. All right. So in Tokyo, the internet is 8 to 30 times faster than it is in the United States.
So you're saying that even their computers are smarter?
No. I think that their computer chips and their CPUs and all that good stuff is equally smart. But the broadband connection, you know, the wiring, the copper wiring and all that good stuff is better there than it is here. And also, it's government regulated rather than, you know, laissez-faire. So that means that the government has stepped in and made it, you know, it cheap and fast and easy for the internet to get faster there. And as a result, they're like leaps and bounds ahead of us. Because, you know, once the internet goes faster, all the other technology and things in place that you can do with the internet becomes more advanced. So they're starting to really spank us in terms of, like, now, like, doctors can, like, look at cancer over the internet, and whereas before they couldn't rely upon the images being right, like, they can diagnose things on the internet. So, you know, instead of having to have surgeons get together and look at stuff, they can do it on computers and stuff. But, you know, other things as well will technologically go into place that we're going to get spanked is basically what it means.
Speaking of spanking, just imagine how much porn you could download if you were in Tokyo.
Well, and I'm sure that they do. That's like an important part of Tokyo culture is porn.
Nonstop, constant porn.
Yeah.
Streaming to your house at fucking, like, faster than the women can take their clothes off. Those guys are getting their porn.
Yeah, there's a hilarious quote in this article from the Washington Post Foreign Service. And it says, here's the quote, "The Bush administration largely turned its back on the internet, so we have just drifted downwards." Said Thomas Bleha, a former U.S. diplomat who served in Japan.
So are we talking about the U.S. is drifting downwards?
Well, yeah, because Asia and Japan is spanking us.
Do you think it's because Bush doesn't understand the internet?
Of course that's why. He doesn't get that, you know, there's a reason why we should be ahead of everybody. You know, we created, like, the internet, you know, and now we're fucked.
What a fucking horrible condition, though, that we live in a world where, like, we can just assume that our president doesn't understand certain concepts, like the internet, like, doesn't get the value of that.
It's horrific. It really is. I can't wait until that man goes away. I think that that's really interesting. And I guess 10 years from now, when we finally catch up to where they are now, we'll get to be exposed to all these exciting things that the innovators of Japan are doing with the fast internet that we can't see because we don't have the capacity to see it.
Oh, it's just video games.
I don't think so.
It's video games and pictures of cancer. Here's a little something I like to call news you can use.
Not news that makes you snooze.
No. Which shoes do you choose? As a little dramatic results humor.
I love it.
News you can use. We've noticed, we being scientists, me and my colleagues, I wasn't actually personally interviewed for this, but a couple of other scientists were. Grazing cattle and sleeping deer tend to align their bodies along the north-south axis of the Earth's magnetic field.
Oh, that's hot.
European researchers said on Monday, giving new meaning to the phrase, animal magnetism.
Oh, wah, wah.
So,
how awesome is that?
Well, herdsmen and hunters have noticed for a very long time that and cattle all point in the same direction. And they had postulated that it had something to do with perhaps the wind or the weather or the sun or something like that. And these researchers took a look at Google Earth, which apparently is unlocking all of the fucking planet's mysteries.
I love it.
And they took pictures of fields of cattle all over the world, and they all line up going north and south. Now, some studies suggest humans who sleep in an east-west position have far shorter rapid eye movement, or REM sleep cycles, in which dreams occur. And that is compared to people who sleep in a north-south configuration.
Shit, what do we do? I think we are east-west.
That's
why we need to move our bed around.
That's why this is called news you can use.
Yeah.
Because apparently, according to this study, they always knew that like salmon and birds and like smaller animals had that kind of connection with like the magnetic poles of the earth.
Yeah.
But they're just now discovering that not only cattle, but also deer have this and humans. And so, yeah, we need to move our bed because it just seems like if that's the natural order of things, we should get on board.
Well, I think we need to get a compass to make sure. I suspect that actually our bedroom is not oriented. We'd have to put the bed diagonally, I think, in the bedroom, you know, not so that like one side is lined up with a wall, because I think our walls are not perfectly aligned with the north, south, east, west. I think that they're, you know, the north, northeast, and the south, southwest.
Do you think we were built at an angle?
I think it's possible, since we're along a river road and rivers are curvy, that we may not be aligned, set up to be aligned properly without getting a little wonky in the bedroom. Right. But wow, how cool is that? And that just makes feng shui. That's like another argument for feng shui, you know? They say that how you easternly, westernly, all that crap, that's important in feng shui.
Yeah, I wonder if is there really a strong argument against feng shui? Like,
well, you know, some people think it's like superstitious and magical and kind of folkloric and a load of crap. Like they don't. I mean, feng shui literally has like a mandala, and you know, you have to place a fountain on one side facing this, and you have to put a plant over here, and you clear energy. Like if you've got clutter in this area of the house, you should have it in that area instead. Like you can have clutter, but it needs to be in a productive area of the house. Like it's really intricate.
I believe it.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. Actually, now I'm really excited. I want to feng shui the apartment. I want to make money. You can do it. You can feng shui for money.
Oh, not for feng shui in our own apartment.
No. We will feng shui our own apartment to bring in money to our lives.
What are you talking about?
You set up the apartment in a feng shui way, and you put things in the particular areas of the house that are aligned with prosperity that brings money in.
Like people just start knocking on the door. We heard you moved a couch. Here's a dollar.
Yes.
I don't know if I'd buy that.
Maybe a swan will lay a golden egg. Hey, we had a goose crossing today.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we were driving. Speaking of prosperity, we were driving to your interview.
Yes.
And we're almost late because of geese.
Yeah, there's like maybe 30 geese crossing a major highway.
Yeah.
And they were so cute. We all had to stop so that they could get across. Nobody got hurt. I was very worried.
Do you know why they were crossing the road?
To get to the stinky side of the road. They were headed for the stinky side.
they were headed to the stinky side. I usually see them on the stinky side.
I do too.
I think maybe they had to take a break from it. Maybe they were just returning.
No, we have a lot of major wetlands and natural areas around here. And so the geese love it. We have a lot of geese
flying
around.
There was one little, they were all kind of huge because they're geese. They're like Canadian geese.
Yeah.
There was one goose at the end of the line that was a total fucking dawdler.
All like these cars are stopping.
Yeah, there was
the highway's backed up on either direction.
And this guy, like, is halfway across the second lane of traffic. There's four to go. Halfway across number two, and he starts, like, chewing on himself.
He
like,
has to preen.
He's got
to
start working on an itch, and it's like, across the street. Man, some people, but, you know, maybe he was doing a science experiment. Who knows?
Yeah, it was really adorable. It really made me feel like we were living country life, country style living. And then last night we saw a
nutria.
A nutria.
We think.
Yeah, we suspect it was a nutria.
It looked like a beaver.
It was, or possum.
It did not
possum
look like
with
a possum
a beaver
to
head.
Me at all. Yeah, maybe some sort of Frankenstein
the tail,
possum.
The tail was very possum-y. And it was big.
I don't believe that it was a possum at all.
I don't even know really what a nutria is. We got to look that up.
I think that it's what they put in, like, sugar substitutes.
It's a preservative.
Yeah, it's a preservative.
Gives you cancer. Anyway, it was ugly as all fuck, and it was huge.
You thought he was ugly?
Well,
He looked like a porcupine without quills.
He was a little bit scary. Like, I wouldn't want to pet him. But I liked him. I did. I enjoyed him quite a bit.
I didn't think he was ugly at all.
We kept following him around with our car and shining our headlights on him so we could get a better look at him. It was very funny. So it was like at 2 a.m., so thankfully there was no traffic. But anyway.
Yeah, and we were kind of on a backcountry road. So.
The many wonders of Portland, you know. My next news story is that Neanderthals, that's the proper way to say it, from anthropologists, I'm telling you this.
I wouldn't want to offend any.
Neanderthals. We're not stupid, says new research. This always cracks me up because, you know, even back when I was in school for anthropology, they were saying that Neanderthals were not stupid. And so I don't know why we have to keep hitting that home. But anyway, they have been taking a look. You know, Neanderthals and modern Homo sapiens coexisted for about 15,000 years, but Neanderthals didn't make it, and we did. And so they used to think it was because they were stupid, way back in the day.
There's plenty of people that you look at.
You can see it in their skull.
You know somebody was mixing it up.
They were. In fact, they have evidence to show that they were warring each other for natural resources. They were battling. And there is some evidence to show that they were interbreeding, you know. Go ahead.
John C. Reilly.
Exactly. See? Enough said.
Will Ferrell.
What about Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Yeah. They've all got slopey brow.
Yeah, they've all got that big brow thing going on. I don't know if it was just like an assumption they went to because the skulls look so weird and they just assumed, you know, it's just you look primitive, so therefore you must be dumb.
Ron Perlman.
But Ron Perlman's a classic one. Yeah, and he's a great actor. Actually, I love Ron Perlman.
Does it say anything in your study about their ability to act?
No, it doesn't. Actually, it's all about making arrowheads and stone tools and showing that their tools were just as sophisticated and as effective as modern Homo sapiens. So, there's more evidence now to say that they weren't stupid. It's actually more likely that, you know, Neanderthals did well during the Ice Age. They were shorter and stouter and bulkier, and so their bodies were more oriented towards the cold. And they hunted the woolly mammoth. And so as the Ice Age went away, the woolly mammoths went away, and so their ability to get food was a lot harder. And so their ability to adapt to the new environment is probably why they went away.
But they didn't farm?
No, they didn't quite know. No, they were more the foraging, hunting type. And actually, the modern Homo sapiens were starting to learn how to farm and settle down, and the Neanderthals would raid them for their food. There's evidence of that as well. So there you have it. But actually, I think Neanderthals are really cool. They think that they used to worship bears. Like, they found caves with bear skulls in the back, kind of propped up really high, so it looked like they were making offerings to some sort of bear god. And they, you know, so there's evidence that maybe they had a belief in the afterlife. And that's kind of advanced thinking and problem solving to be able to imagine that something happens after you die.
Maybe they were doing something with those bear skulls that we can't even begin to fathom because they were such fucking amazing geniuses.
That's the beauty of archaeology is, you know, you've only got the material remains and the rest is just, you're just pulling it right out of your ass.
Yeah, well, I mean, and we're also applying the filter of... What is that called? Anachronistic thinking?
Oh, exactly.
Where we're coming from our own time and we're applying it to them.
That's a problem. You project your reality onto it.
They may have had no idea or concept of God, you know? Like, this could have been like, hey, everybody, Joe's building a bear. Yeah, let's put the bear head goes right here. Let's build a bear.
Well, they did have other symbolic behavior. Like, they found a burial of a baby that was born and died right away. And it was buried on top of a swan's wing. So,
oh, I've seen that before.
Yeah. So
the swamp
a lot,
people did that.
There was a lot of symbolic behavior there for the Neanderthals.
Didn't they wrap up?
No, that was a Neanderthal thing. I mean, swamp people may have done that too, but... I just know about the Neanderthals.
The bog people.
The bog people, yes. The peat moss folks, if you will. So there you go. Neanderthals are cool. Y'all just need to quit fucking around and talking shit about Neanderthals.
Why is everybody always trying to badmouth the Neanderthals?
Yeah, they were...
What with that?
In fact, I think I might dump you and go find a man with a more prominent brow.
I've got a prominent brow.
To interbreed
brow.
With.
What are you talking about? Look at me. I've got hair all over. Speaking of hair all over.
More science?
No, this is a beauty contest for nuns.
Oh, no. Great.
Apparently, and I was kidding. Nuns are beautiful, lovely people. They don't all have hair all over, only some of them. An Italian priest who had planned an online pageant for nuns has suspended the project, saying he was misinterpreted and had no intention of putting sisters on a beauty catwalk. So this guy, this priest, Italian priest, he's got a blog, and he's decided that he's going to create some sort of, like, Miss America for nuns, or Miss Italy for nuns. Miss Sister Italy.
Leave it to the Italians.
Yeah. And so his superiors were not happy. They wanted it shut down. They were very angry with him. And he was kind of like, he started backpedaling. He's like, no, you don't understand. This wasn't about, like, beauty. It was a beauty contest? No way. It's not a beauty contest. He wanted people to vote on the nuns. And, like, it was going to be rated on, like, spirituality and charity work. And, like, there was all these other categories.
Well, that's very sweet.
And apparently, here's what he says. We have to draw more attention to the world of nuns, who are often not sufficiently appreciated by society. Many monasteries in Italy are dying because of a lack of religious vocations. So he's just trying to get people excited about nuns.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
And then he got in trouble for it.
He got in trouble for it. He's not doing it anymore. And apparently he's got all kinds of nasty emails. People are very angry about the idea of this guy having a nun pageant.
It's a non-pageant. It's an anti-pageant, really.
He thought he had a pageant. Instead, he got none.
Hey, you know, that reminds me. You know, we were talking for a moment about hairy women. And there's a lot of fun things going on in Portland.
When are we not talking about
exactly.
hairy women?
Exactly.
Go ahead.
And one of the really fun things that we went to in Portland recently was the Monsters of Accordion concert at the Kennedy School. And we will more on that in a moment. But while we were at the concert, I saw a bearded lady walk by, like kind of a heavyset woman with a full beard and a mustache. She was so thrilled to her long hair, and she was wearing a dress and all that. And I was
really?
Like, yes.
Where did you see this person?
I pointed her out to you. Let me tell you more, because you may remember in a minute. So I saw her walk by, and I'm like, oh, cool, there's kooky people in Portland. Look, it's a bearded lady. And then later, I saw that she was there with her boyfriend, maybe. It was definitely a man with long hair and a frumpy dress and breasts, dressed like a woman. Oh, look, it was a man going through a transgender process and a bearded woman, and they were a couple. You don't remember me pointing these people out to you, honey?
Not at all.
Oh, yeah. It was total circus freak time. It was geek love is what it was. Yeah, they were having a great... They were dancing together.
Are you sure that it wasn't just like a very feminine-looking dude?
I was at the back of that room for a long time, and they were back there with me. It was a very tall man, big hands, body structure, the whole deal, and it was a man with breasts, and that was her boyfriend, girlfriend, and a woman with a beard. And I don't know if she was trying to become a man, or she just naturally had a lot of testosterone, so she would have had a beard anyway, and she was just going with it, or, you know, what the deal was, but it was totally a circus freak show. It was awesome.
Wow.
They were really
neat. They
found
each other.
They did. And you know what? They looked so natural and comfortable, and I was the only person, I guess, gawking at them. But everybody else was like, no biggie.
You see? That's how I was. No biggie. I don't even remember these people. I'm just like...
I'm sure I pointed them out to you, and I know I pointed them out to our friends.
That's how open-minded I am.
Exactly.
I'm just like, oh, bearded lady. All right. Rock on.
Transgender people. Transgender loving. Yeah, it was really cool.
I'm gonna play you a little song here that maybe put a little transgender loving in your heart. This is a song by a performer called Miss Kawa, and it's K-A-W-A. K-A-W-A. Miss Kawa. This is a song called London. And now I had a real hard time understanding the lyrics. I think there's one line in there that I can understand where it says drown under your hair or something like that.
Oh, more hair.
Yeah, something about hair. So this is Miss Kawa, and the song is called London. And she is on MySpace at www.myspace.com/MissKawa. Miss Kawa.
Let's do it.
So, and I
say let's do it, I think that wild things can start.
I do too. That's why I did it.
Oh, okay. Should we give her that for her song? Maybe that'll crank up the airplay. So if she ever does a re-recording of this, just go ahead and include that at the front.
Me going, let's do it.
Now you're just going over her. Now it's your song.
We have to cut off. It's like a remix. All this extra crap you can cut out. You can just keep the first, let's do it.
No. I want to really have a thorough discussion about this. First, let's start with the word let's. This will only take 15 minutes, don't worry. Miss Kawa from Japan, everybody, with a nice little short song there for you.
It was short, sweet, and fun.
And to the point.
Yeah.
Why do we need all of these songs dicking around? Chorus, bridge, chorus, verse, chorus.
Guitar solo, drum solo. Yeah,
who needs it?
Acapella, jibba jabba.
Get to the point.
That's right. Just like a haiku.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it.
Oh, that's nice. That's kind of what that was there. That was kind of like, she's like the haiku of music.
That's right. You know, well that, said.
She can, you, Miss Kawa, you can go ahead and put that right on front of your CD when it comes out. Like the haiku of music. By the Ruckus. And then put a little award on there. Tell them that you're number one on an award list from us. That'll be nice for you.
So before we get into more about some of the fun things that we've been up to, because we've been up to some pretty cool shit, actually. I would just like to mention to the world out there that Justin's birthday is coming up very soon now. Just round the corner, in fact, in early September. And I have a pre-birthday present to give him. Sort of live and on the air, except that it'll, you know, whatever. But
you're going to give me a present?
I'm going to start the birthday bubble. Yes, right now. Are you ready? Are you excited?
Well, yeah.
So let me get it. Hold on. Ha-ha. Yes, close your eyes.
Okay. Should I actually close my eyes? But I, or,
hold out your hands.
Do I not have to because it's the radio?
Okay. And... Happy early birthday! You can look now.
It feels like a ticket.
Yes, it's a ticket.
Okay.
Take a look.
Oh, I'm going to musicfestnorthwest.com.
Yes, that's what you're going to do for your birthday. You're going to go to a website.
I have two general admission tickets to see. It looks like Mogwai is
yes!
at the top of this. Oh, this is awesome. This is on the 3rd.
Yes, it's before your birthday, so
Wednesday,
the birthday bubble
September
will begin.
3rd. Oh, cool. Is this in Portland?
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes, happy birthday.
Well, thank you. That'll be very exciting. Who's playing with them?
I have no idea.
Is this actually a festival, or is it...
Yeah, it's the North. It's that music festival that's happening.
With Matt and Kim?
Probably, yeah.
How exciting.
It's not admission to the whole festival, though. It's just admission to that particular night.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Wow. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Wednesday, September 3rd at 9 p.m. So, I don't understand. It's a festival that starts at 9 p.m.?
No. The music festival is like all the concert theaters all in Portland for like a week or week and a half are just booking back-to-back shitloads of really good music. And that's all part of the music festival. So it's not like you pay $50 to see them all. You pay for each night, but it's all being promoted as one music festival.
But it's not like Lollapalooza.
Exactly. It's not like Lollapalooza.
You would pay for one stage.
Right. It's not like that. No.
Okay. Well, still very exciting.
It is.
Very, very exciting. Well, thank you. Wow. When did you buy these?
Oh, probably like a week or two ago.
Isn't that funny that I just looked that up in the paper today?
That's why I decided I'd better give them to you today before you go buy tickets to these things.
Oh, yeah. Well, I wonder, just so you know, if there are any other presents you want to give me, I'm definitely going to buy tickets to Gogo Bordello when they come out.
Oh, well, why don't you close your eyes, dear?
Did you really get them?
Yes. Wanted to give them to you on your birthday, but, you know, since you brought this up, I guess I'll just go ahead and tell you. That you've also got tickets to see Gogol Bordello on October 5th.
I was also thinking about giving myself an hour-long blowjob.
Really? Well, guess what, dear? No. A coupon booklet.
Well, thank you. That's was completely unexpected and surprising, and I'm thrilled. This is going to be awesome. Well, thank you.
It's always good to give you music for your birthday because you love music.
I sure do. Mm-hmm. Oh, when I was in Vancouver, speaking of music, we saw this band, and I'll try to get them for the show, called the Pack AD.
Yeah.
And it's two girls, and they kind of sound like the Black Keys, but I guess people really, really love the Black Keys, so I guess I'll just leave it at that, but I actually think they're a little more fun to listen to than the Black Keys.
These girls, yeah.
Yeah, and like the album was really decent, and it was strong enough that me and my brother were like, oh, we got to go see these guys. And so we went and saw them, because we just listened to the music in the record store.
Uh-huh.
Sister Pants behind the record counter was just, like, handing us CDs after CDs of, like, local music. Incredibly friendly people in Vancouver.
Yes.
And so, like, she just gave us a big old fucking stack of CDs to listen to. And she's like, oh, yeah, these guys are playing tomorrow night. So we listened to it, and it was awesome. So we went, and my God, their live show was fucking mind-blowing.
That's rad.
First of all, the guy who went on right before them, his name was Rich Hope,
mm-hmm.
and the Evildoers,
mm-hmm.
which is funny because it's him and a drummer, and they just fucking blew the roof off. And I was like, oh, this is awesome. I'm going to get this CD. And then the Pack AD came out and fucking blew everything away. Like, it was just fucking amazing, and it was like
high. In a void.
Yeah, it was like, yeah, it opened up a fucking wormhole. It was that good. And just fucking amazing energy and fun, and like, you could tell everyone was having a good time. They invited everybody in the audience to like their after party down the street at some other bar, the Morrissey.
Oh yes.
Yeah, but my brother and I got there, and we were just like, oh, this place is too snooty, like, you know,
too pretentious.
And you know how rock stars are. They weren't there yet. They probably wouldn't be there for another 2 hours or something.
Exactly. You
know, so that was cool. They're from Vancouver, the Pack AD. We'll try to get them for an upcoming show. We also have other music already queued up.
Yeah.
Including somebody that we heard at the Monsters of Accordion Festival.
Yes.
So I'm very excited about all the new music we have queued up, and we'll try to pick out a good song from the Monsters of Accordion for our next show. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, that festival sort of exceeded our expectations. We didn't quite know, you know, accordions are cool. I mean, don't get me wrong, but we didn't know what was going to happen.
Instantly, you kind of think like, oh, it's going to be kind of goofy.
Lots of polka.
Well, not even lots of polka, but like, you know, it's real cheeky. It's going to be
right.
An accordion show. When we first got there, there was a lady on stage who was a little bit goofy,
right?
Playing the accordion, but still kind of, you know, a little bit goofy. She was like doing yodeling kind of things,
mm-hmm.
and then the guy after her was this guy Duck Mandu.
Yes, he had a duck hat on the entire time.
He had
time.
A duck hat on the entire time.
Daffy, I believe.
Donald Duck. Actually, Daffy would have been cooler.
I agree,
but I've never seen.
I prefer Daffy.
A Daffy hat like that. I've seen the Donald hat like that, and he did like covers of the Dead Kennedys. And,
on accordion. Yeah, it was pretty fun.
Yeah, and it was funny, but it was still, you know, like, oh, okay, it's silly.
Right.
You know? He did, like, this Led Zeppelin song that was just a little too long.
Well, I think that they're all a little too long when they're on accordion.
Yeah.
Led Zeppelin was not meant to be accordionated.
No. When you change the arrangement in such a way, you start to realize, like, wow, without those other instruments, it's a little monotonous.
Right.
There's not a lot of variety to this 5 minute long song. So, you know, we were thinking at this point, it's going to be fun. It's going to be silly, whatever. And then what happened?
And then Mark, what's his name? What the hell's that guy's name?
God.
We'll get it right. We'll get it right when it's time to play him.
Yeah.
Sorry, folks. And sorry, Mark, what's his name?
I wish I could remember his name too. It was something like, you know, it was just this guy's first and last name.
This man had a stage presence that was just, I don't know, it was so amazing, and a storytelling ability. And it was just like when he sang, and he did some traditional, I think some traditional Irish songs with his accordion. Yes, he did. And he did a lot of the songs that he composed himself, and they were amazing. And he had a great rapport with the audience. You know, he would yap. You know, sometimes people yap too much before a song and you're like, shut the fuck up. I want to hear the song, you know?
Yeah.
He had just the right amount to just kind of give you little hints of the context. Like he'd talk about how his dad was a preacher. So he likes biblical themes and he likes to talk about those things. And then he went into a song. I don't remember what it was about. It might have been about Christ. I'm not quite sure. No.
He went into a song about Judas.
About Judas.
It was called St. Judas.
Yes. So, I mean, it was really wonderful. And it was like, his soul was so present in his work, and it was so transformational, really, yeah, to hear him. And, you know, the way Tom Waits will take you on a journey, he had that kind of stage presence and that charisma to really hold you through it, you know, like just keep you on the edge of your seat the whole time. And it was so wonderful. Beautiful, yeah,
it was
beautiful.
Really, really magical, beautiful. And it was like, you really got swept away by it, and it was really, you got caught up in it, and it was not silly on any level.
No, not at all. It was art. It was glorious.
There were light moments, and there was a sing-along moment,
yeah,
but it was never silly. And when and it got to that point where it's like the guy who was headlining,
what was Jason it? Something.
Jason Webley.
Yeah, that's it.
Everybody likes him, and he was fun, and he's a good performer, and he had sing-along moments. But even that felt a little contrived to me, and it was like, you know, it was about the interaction.
Right, right.
But with this other guy, it was like, you're interacting because the power of the music is forcing you to. Like, this magic is hitting you. It's reaching into you.
And it was sort of like, you know, once he mentioned that his father was a preacher and you got that he, you know, came from this religious structural background, I really got the feeling like, you know, it became like a call and response. It became like the way they do church when they're really feeling really, really moved. And, you know, the preacher says something and everybody responds back. And it's all part, we're all getting swept up together. And it's all part of the energy of the Spirit taking us up.
I really felt that very strongly, too. And I was actually, while we were watching that show, I remember thinking, like, this is the part of church that I've liked.
Yes.
When I've gone to church in my life, it's these moments where it's like you feel the power of celebration, you know, and it's like people are singing and everybody's present, and like that's where you feel the actual magic.
That, my favorite part too is there's a part where there was a sing along where it was like, and I don't remember what the melody was, but it was like a or whatever, and then he'd do it and we'd sing back, and he said, he was like, sing along, and then everybody would sing along, and he'd go, no, really, everybody, you can't do it wrong. It's not about doing it right. It's going to be beautiful. Just sing with me,
right,
and you'll see. And it was amazing, and yeah, everybody sang along, and you sang your own song. I even stopped trying to sing what he was singing. Yeah. I sang what I wanted to sing.
Exactly.
And
he even wonderful. Said it. He's like, don't think about getting it right. Just do it. Just sing it.
Yeah.
Man, yeah, that was a fucking good show.
It was.
We should see him again. You know what? I'm going to pause it so that we could tell people who it is. Cause,
get the name right. Okay, yeah.
Because, I mean, we've talked about it so much that they need to know who we're talking about.
Okay.
Mark Grodin. Mark Grodin was his name.
God bless the internet.
Yeah, yeah. It was like, for people listening to the podcast, that was like the blink of an eye. But, you know, if we were in Tokyo, it actually would have been the blink of an eye.
That's true. You're right.
Well,
literally.
Faster
than that, even. Yeah.
So, yeah, Mark Grodin. And when we bought one of his CDs, and he was in a regular five-piece band, I think.
Yeah,
He plays banjo on it. So, you know, he's a multi-instrumentalist. As a matter of fact, when we saw him, do you remember?
Yes, he played bicycle handlebars.
He played bicycle handlebars. He blew into them like a flute on one end, and he played this song where, like, at the very beginning, I'm like, oh, okay, here comes another silly knucklehead.
Yeah.
And then it was like, wow, he's really doing something there. Like, that really actually sounds pretty good.
It sounded like a Native American song.
Yeah.
It kind of had that flute quality to it. It was really cool. Yeah.
So, yeah, that was the Monsters of Accordion. If you guys ever get a chance to see Mark Grodin, if he comes to your town, apparently he took a 4-year hiatus just recently. You know what? What the fuck? Let's just go ahead and play a song. I mean, he already said that we could. Let's just play it now. We've talked about it this
time. Okay, yeah, let's do it.
All right, so we'll play a song.
Okay. Yeah, if you get a chance to see him live, if you can see him during the Monsters of Accordion tour, I don't know if they're coming to your town, but I would say snatch up the opportunity.
Yeah. Monsters of Accordion, definitely worth seeing.
Oh, certainly.
As much as I've kind of dismissed and marginalized all the other performers of the night.
Well, the headlining guy was cool.
They weren't bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were all good. And even, I would say, even Duck Mandu with his Kennedy covers.
Yeah.
It was fun. You know, nothing not to like.
Yeah, it was a great show.
And you know where we saw that? We saw that at the Kennedy School, the McMenamins Kennedy School.
Yeah, there's this company out here in Portland called McMenamins, and what they do is they take old historical buildings and they revitalize them and they restore them to their original beauty, and then they make them functional buildings again. So sometimes it'll be a bar, or sometimes it'll be a hotel and a restaurant. The Kennedy School actually used to be a public school, and it is now functioning. Each classroom is now a hotel room. It's got two bars. There's a detention room and an honors room bar. There's two different bars you can go to. Really cute.
Which one would you go to?
The detention room,
of course. Yeah.
And then the auditorium has been transformed into a theater where you can see movies, and there's couches there, and you can drink beer and eat your food and watch a movie. Or like when we went, we got to actually see a live concert. So it was really fantastic.
Yeah, and it's in the auditorium. It's in like the auditorium.
Yeah, know? And it's so, you know, it's painted beautifully. It's full of murals. It's just gorgeous.
And it's got all of those things to make it still look like a school. You know, when I first imagined what the Kennedy School was going to be like, I thought it was going to be like an old schoolhouse, like those little one-room schoolhouses or something.
Right.
And it's not. It's like the school that I went to.
Yeah.
It looks just like the school that I went to, but it's got fucking the Monsters of Accordion and beer on tap.
Well, you can also tell that it was built a long time ago because it's got like the wood trim. Like it's got the rich details of a building that was built back when people cared about making things look pretty.
Yeah.
So that's really nice to experience, you
what
know,
did your
aesthetically.
School look like? Your school didn't look like that?
My school was built at the turn of the century.
I've been to your school.
Yeah, Poly High School. You have?
No, your middle school.
Oh, Hoover.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know when Hoover was built,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, I had some classes there. Yeah, very boring looking school.
Yeah.
It's like a shoebox, like a really long shoebox that turns.
They're kind of ugly, those modern buildings. It's a shame.
And a lot of those Southern California middle schools, and people, I've seen a lot of them. I teach. I'm not a pedophile. fucking, they all look the same, and they're all boring. The ones in Compton, those people look like they swept out a janitor's closet and just threw some shit in the middle of a room, and that's what they're, like, that's their room.
Yeah, I'm hoping that we can move more towards thinking about how environment impacts learning and starting to, you know, build things that'll enrich in, you know, the experience. Because it's very oppressive. It's very oppressive.
But who doesn't, well, you know.
I guess it's another discussion.
It just sucks because, like, that's the kind of stuff that you can't really put in writing. You know, I guess you could get a study or a grant or something, but, like, to sit there and like that's the problem with schools is you have to put everything into school language so that an administrator can understand it, and to say like it's totally justifiable to say like these kids need better desks,
right,
and better chairs. Like now you've got to prove to somebody that it does make a difference to sit in a comfortable chair.
Oh yeah, you know? Certainly. Yeah. I totally agree. But, well, you know, we'll transform the world of education maybe on another episode. Mm-hmm. But we've certainly made our point clear.
It's something that I'm very passionate about. I've been in so many schools and I just see so many shitty conditions.
Yeah.
And it really hurts my heart. The little Indian that stands inside of my heart, he turns away from the trash pile that is those schools with the lonely tear coming out of his eye.
I understand. We can go off about how only the rich people get to go to nice, pretty places to get educated, but again, this is
and
another
then
episode.
What? And then what? You remember? Okay, so we went camping the other day.
We did.
We went on a hike, and the last night that we were there, there was like a van full of what I imagine was just a bunch of rich guys who were getting their free ride. Do you remember?
No.
The last night they were there, they pulled up in their fucking RV trailer or whatever, and they're blasting fucking music.
Oh, yeah, they're like grindcore metal what they started off with.
Way into the night.
Yeah.
And that, you know, it actually went away from the grindcore metal and went into like nicer music.
Yeah, Duran Duran.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
which, you know, it was better.
But it was still really loud, and it was after quiet time, so everybody else was in bed, and you know how sound travels.
Well, it's just not only that, but it's like not what I was looking for when I decided to go camping.
Exactly.
You know, it was fucking your music blasting.
Yeah.
And so we were out there camping, and these guys are blasting their music. And they came over, and they're like, hey, is this too loud? And I was like, oh, that's cool. They're going to be cool about it. And they turned it down, or turned it off,
yeah,
actually, for about 10 minutes.
Long enough to get stoned.
Yeah.
And then it came back on.
And then it came back on. Yeah, and then so we went to bed, and one of them, I think his name was Kurt.
Oh my, we're going to get specific.
We're coming for you, Kurt. He begins to give a dissertation. He begins to give a dissertation to his buddies about how many pussies he's licked.
Oh yes, it was graphic.
And this was, it's full of little kids. Like, they were talking loud. Like, there was kids every, this was car camping, you know? It's not like we didn't backpack into the middle of nowhere. You know, this was like we were in Disneyland. And this guy's like, you know, I fucked at least 40 girls, and I know I've licked every one of their pussies, and, you know, I've licked 70 pussies. And his friends were like, this is a fascinating topic. Continue telling us about it, please, Kurt.
Yeah, I think I heard pussy about a million times. I was trying to go to sleep, but... Yeah. So you thought that those guys were rich, because I thought they were total white trash, but I didn't really see them very well, so I didn't know. But based upon their conversation, I thought they were total, like, white trash guys.
Really?
Yeah.
I was just imagining that they were just like, you know, rich guys. They had a really nice RV.
Yeah.
And they seemed really scummy, like people who have never had to work and, like, you know, like they just seemed like fucking, like, they didn't care about shit, you know, they didn't care about anyone else. I assume they were rich guys, but yeah. I don't know. They could have been middle class. Assholes walk in every fucking walk of life. There could have been a rich guy and a fucking middle class guy and a white trash guy. They could have all been there, holding hands, united, and fucking being assholes.
Yeah, I guess you might be right. It was certainly a remarkable situation, and those little kids now know a lot about pussy.
Yeah.
If they were awake.
Well, he actually never gave any pointers. He never gave any tips.
No, he actually said he wouldn't tell. I think somebody asked for advice, for tips, and he was like, nope, that's information I don't share. I remember that. I do. I specifically remember he refused to give details.
Douchebag.
Yeah.
Then why the fuck are you talking about it? Get out of here. So that was our hiking trip. Anything else you want to talk about?
No, there was a great part of it. It was really quite lovely. We were just outside of Salem, about 25 miles outside of Salem, and we went on a 10-mile hike, and during that 10-mile hike, we saw no less than 10 waterfalls.
No less and no more.
No less and no more. Beautiful.
We went with our friends Kim and Matt that we met at Game Day in Portland.
Yes.
Who apparently know how to pack better than we do. I didn't bring a jacket. And they had this little teeny tiny itty bitty tent, which personally, it looked like it was big enough to fit my right leg in. But they both slept in it.
Well, you know, they had backpacked through Chile for like 6 months, and that was their tent. And, you know, they did the whole traveling thing where they had their lives on their back for 6 months. So, you know, they were highly proficient.
They're very dedicated.
Yeah, with it. So, hey, cool. That's good. Maybe they can give us tips. But the hikes were great.
Mm-hmm.
The hike on the waterfalls were beautiful. It was amazing. And you can go behind some of them, and just glorious, beautiful weather. And we had a lovely time.
It was really cool going with Kim, too, because she knew a lot about the trees and the plants. And certainly there are people who know more, but she knew way more than we did.
She kept picking clovers and telling us to shove it in our mouths. And
yeah, she
picking berries and looking at lobster mushrooms and getting all giddy about it.
She found stuff that we could eat. Yeah, and when we found the lobster mushroom, she was just like...
Beside herself.
Wow, look at this thing.
Yeah.
And apparently it's this mushroom that tastes and looks...
It does. It's orange.
Just like lobster.
Just like a lobster.
It looks just like a lobster.
Yeah.
And so, which... And she says, oh, it's really expensive... And I'm like, really? How much does it cost? And she's, well, you know, lobster prices. But to me, you can go with an alternative that looks and tastes and costs the exact same as an animal.
Right.
And you don't have to do the thing that may or may not be cruel.
Right.
Why not just go with the mushroom, you know?
Well, I guess if they're hard to harvest, I don't know. I mean, we were up in the forest, so... but sure, it would be exciting if she can verify it and then she can cook some up for us. Wouldn't that rock? She's a culinary artiste, our friend Kim.
Yeah, so...
Or a foodie, as she calls it.
Does she?
Yeah, she's like, oh, I'm a foodie, or, oh, you know, our friends this and that, they're foodies too, and they like this, and, you know, she calls them foodies. It's pretty cute.
Cool. That's cool. We went swimming in one of the waterfalls.
Well, y'all did. I wasn't about to. It looked cold out there.
Oh, my God. It was freezing.
Yeah.
It was freezing.
You silly kids climbing up the waterfall.
It felt good.
I'll bet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
After you you jump in the first time, it's just painful. You want to cry. You get out, and you get in again, and then it's like, wow, that's refreshing.
Yeah. I think once you get used to the initial shock of it, your body's kind of adjusts to it.
Yeah, Kim and Matt are climbers, too. They like climbing shit.
Yeah, so they're nature folk. They're really cool. I enjoy the friends that we're making. I can't wait until we start our D&D campaign and make new friends with those people.
Shh, don't tell anybody.
We could tell. Guess what, people? We like Dungeons & Dragons.
No.
We like it. I'm a first-level tiefling warlock.
Now we're going to be
name of Tia Time.
We're going to be on the government file for... First of all, Rachel, I know now Rachel is openly sharing this with you, but I have personal experience from high school. Pretty girls are not going to talk to us anymore.
Well, I'm going to be able to work through that, I think.
Okay. And as long as you're, I just want a fair warning.
So that's gonna be neat. I can't wait till that gets started, because it looks like we've got a nice group of creative people, and there's gonna be lots of room for silliness.
Yeah, the dude who emailed me about the campaign, he like gave me a synopsis of what was going on in the story, and then he said, you know, when you guys show up, I hope you guys are ready to rock to some vinyl, because we're gonna be at Adam's house, and there's nothing you can do to stop it.
So that's exciting.
Yeah, little comments like that kind of makes it sound like, oh, these might be our people.
People who know how to play.
Yeah.
Playfully play. You know, like frivolous. We like frivolity.
So that was a lot of fun. We've got a couple of other quick announcements. I started another little music podcast called The Swing. There's only one episode up. It's on our website.
It's super neat.
It's www.theruckus.wordpress.com. That's where you can hear the first episode of The Swing. I'm thinking about doing another podcast on a separate site where I just play old music, stuff that you want to hear.
And I just want to say, for all you folks out there who are fans of music, Justin is like a music aficionado, and he just gets fully engrossed in things. And I really think that you're going to have a nice journey if you check out this podcast. I think you're going to really come away with some gems and some jewels that you're not going to hear on the radio.
Oh, no. No, I play the other oldies.
Yeah.
But you know what? There's stuff that they played on the radio that I also like that I'm playing. You know what? It's just the good stuff.
That's right. Nothing bad, only the good.
Just the good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And even the bad stuff, it's good.
It can be. Yeah. It depends upon how you put it all together.
So there's that. I'm doing that. And then we're going to try to get a little bit more regular about doing the Ruckus. We have been on a break for a little while. I was in Vancouver. We've been looking for jobs. Blah, blah, blah. So we'll get back to it. We've got a lot of good music to play. And... go ahead and take us out of here.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, I hope that you've enjoyed today's episode. Strap yourself in with your seat belts and prepare to go start your own ruckus this instant. Don't wait another second. The universe rewards action. Do it now.
Oh, my.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you were going to go Shakespearean. Dost thou go and starteth thine own ruckus? Does that count? Are you allowed to do that?
Well, you know, maybe I'll do that next time. Maybe I'll look it up and get it, like, or maybe I'll do it in Snoop Dogg talk. Maybe that'll be the new gimmick is, you know, go start a ruckus in different colloquialisms, if you will.
Go start a rizzle.
Exactly.
All right, we out. Go start a ruckus.
Hey, you know, that reminds me, you know, we were talking for a moment about hairy women.